Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com, a free Bible teaching ministry. I am Pastor Greg Miller, and all of our video and audio messages can be found at BBFOhio.com and can be heard on our 24-hour internet radio station at BBFOhioRadio.com, where we invite you to visit and learn the King James Bible with us.
Now, the rich man was an unbeliever, and he goes to hell when he dies. That's in the lower parts of the earth too. But it says in the second part of that verse and the first part of the next, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Mm-hmm. Hell is real. And right now, as I speak to you, there are souls under our feet in a place called hell. I didn't ask whether you like it or not. It's not a pleasant truth. That's beside the point. What's true? The question is, what's true? The Bible says right now under our feet. And if you die without Jesus Christ, if you die without believing the gospel, then at that moment, you'll be one of them down there. It's a real place in the lower parts of the earth. It's there right now.
Amen.
Those in paradise and in hell can see each other at this time. This is the past. But in Luke 16:23b, it says, and he, the rich man, who's in torments, says, and he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So there is the lower parts of the earth. You have hell in one side, paradise on the other, and they can see each other. They can see. Now, it goes and gives us a little more information. Paradise and hell were separated by what's called a great gulf. G-U-L-F, gulf. And in Luke 16:26, it says, and beside all this, Abraham's explained to him why he can't give him water, can't relieve his torment. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. That's it. Down there is an area where the saved, the believers of the Old Testament, and the unbelievers up to this point still go. And it's separated by a gulf. That's the underworld before Christ. Now, we already saw this. Jesus had to go down before going up. Why? In order to take his own captive from captivity into heaven. You see, what happened was all those saved, the beggar, Abraham, and all the saved who were in paradise, when Jesus died, conquered their sin problem, the wages of sin being death. And he went down there and he took captivity captive and took it up, took that whole region to heaven.
Amen.
And so since then, and right now, that part is empty. But hell enlarges its borders.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah, right?
Yep.
And that's the reality. We're told that Jesus preached to those in hell. He didn't suffer. There's no place that says Jesus suffered in hell. But when Jesus went into hell, he preached. 1 Peter chapter 3, if you want to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 3.
I knew it was in 1 Peter somewhere.
Martha learned something new today. But she still can't go home. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3. And beginning in verse 18. Now notice this. All the heretics that you saw earlier said that Jesus died and then went to hell and suffered.
Yeah.
Peter says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. He didn't suffer twice. He suffered once. He suffered on the cross. And when he was on the cross, that's where the whole thing was paid for. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. See, we've studied the death, burial, and resurrection. That's all right there. And we're looking at what happened when he was dead. Well, it wasn't suffering because he'd already done that. He'd already taken care of that. And it says in verse 19, now read that with me. by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Write that down. He preached to those spirits in prison. He didn't go there and suffer. And they didn't put him in chains and get up on top of him and, you know. And I'm glad to say, and for Jenny's sake, that I can't really imitate Joyce Meyer. Because she would probably leave me. But let me tell you, it's just like being chewed out, man. I just can't stand having... just. And anyway, I can't stand it. It's just like, take your fingernails and rake them on the chalkboard. I'd rather listen to that than Joyce Meyer's voice. This was a message of condemnation to the damned. He wasn't taking, he wasn't having an altar call, an invitation. I say that because there are a lot of people who claim a second chance idea. And there's Christians who call this, they call it Christian universalism, where they think that after everybody's suffered in hell a while, then they'll be willingly want to repent and be saved. You notice the rich man in that story didn't repent.
No.
And nothing about him wanting to be saved. He just don't want to be tormented anymore. That's something that's hard for you to understand, that the only reason you want to go to heaven is because you're saved. I mean, when you first got saved, very few people got saved knowing anything about heaven. How could you go a place you didn't want to? You just didn't want to go to hell.
Amen.
And then you got saved and suddenly heaven starts to sound like a nice place to go. And you're relieved to find out we're all not going to be up there in a diaper playing a harp all eternity. You know? You know, that's what they picture heaven. Who wants to go there? No wonder people aren't getting saved. That's not heaven.
Hollywood.
That's Hollywood. Amen. There's a whole lot about heaven. You get saved, you start getting homesick.
Amen.
That's why we sing, What a Day That'll Be. And what was the song title this morning? It Will Be Worth It All When We See Jesus. You know,
Amen.
But when Jesus went there, He wasn't preaching salvation. It wasn't a crusade with an invitation. It was a condemnation message. It says in verse 20, He preached to them which were sometime disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited. See, God's already been long-suffering. And they rejected His love and His mercy and His offer of salvation.
And they still will.
And it says, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved with water. That's not saying that that's the only people Jesus spoke to when He was down there. That's giving you an example of, that's the type of person that those who were, at whatever time they lived, given a message from God, and they rejected it.
Yeah.
Today we preach how that Christ died according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. If you will repent toward God and believe on that message on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved at that very moment.
Amen.
But there will be, literally, into the billions of people who chose to reject that message and go to this place we're talking about called hell. And it's going to be an amazing thing. The great white throne. Jesus says that this is the condemnation. The light has entered the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So, Jesus' message was not only preached to those who perished in the flood. Peter is giving us an example of the type of spirits the message was directed to. And they realized at that time what Israel is going to realize at the end of the tribulation when they mourn over Him whom they pierced.
Mm-hmm.
Only at that point, the remnant that is alive at that point will be saved. In this case, that's not happening. Jesus did not go to hell and suffer. He suffered fully for sin on the cross.
Amen.
It's done. You remember that, which one of them was said, as Joyce, she said that God spoke three words. First of all, her timing was off because Jesus spoke those words on the cross. And He didn't say it is enough.
No.
He said, it is finished.
Yeah.
Now, I don't dictate. I joke about being a benevolent dictator to our Facebook group and everything, but I don't dictate what you guys listen to. If you want to listen to Joyce Myers and get all confused, go right ahead.
Boy.
But it just drives me crazy that I show people this stuff about these teachers and they will resist the truth and continue to listen to people like that, and then they come back later as confused as can be. I don't understand it, man. When I'm listening to a teacher, I find out this is a guy named Mike Hoggard that people were big on the internet about. And he's as confused and confusing everybody else as can be. And he spends all of his time studying masonry and the occult. And he doesn't study the Bible. He's admitted to everybody he's never read the Bible from cover to cover. He has no business being in a pulpit. And yet there are people who have listened to us and said, "Oh, I love your Bible study," and all that, and then they get mad at me when I tell them, you know what? Hoggard's a heretic. And he's a liar. And he's out there telling people stuff about dispensationalism and about Israel and about the rapture that is heresy. And you know what they do? Turn moi off and keep listening to that guy. You get what you deserve. It's your choice. And heresy upon heresy upon heresy. And that's the thing, folks. Heresy begets heresy. When you teach something that bad, it's just going to get worse. Heresy begets heresy. Now, there's nothing left for Jesus to suffer for after He suffered on the cross. In John 19:30, we read this before. Read it with me. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. No one said it's enough. Jesus said it is finished. And that's while He's on the cross. He didn't go to hell and suffer. He'd already suffered it all. If Jesus still had to suffer, to go to hell and suffer, then His words on the cross would have been a lie. But His words on the cross are true. 1 Peter also says in chapter 3, verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins." We read that before. Now think about it. In light of what we studied, think about that phrase.
Yes.
One source of this false teaching comes from a gross misunderstanding of Acts chapter 2. If you want to turn over there real quick, we're going to run through it quick. But here's what happens when you don't rightly divide the word of truth. Here's what happens when you are careless with the words of God. When you just take them and run and you don't carefully look at what they're saying. You don't define your terms. In Acts chapter 2, there's two verses that they rip out of context. Acts chapter 2 and verse 27 to start with. And they are not rightly dividing the word. And they look at it and it says, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Now look hard at that. That doesn't say He suffered in hell. The word "suffers" in there, you know, that isn't what it's saying. It's not saying He'll suffer in hell. It's saying, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." What? He went to hell and preached and led captivity captive. No suffering. "Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." That's talking about Him not rotting in a tomb. Doesn't have anything to do with suffering in hell. Another place is there in verse 31. Read that with me. "He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that His soul was not left in hell, neither His flesh did see corruption." And again, that's the same thing, worded differently, that we just saw already. He was in hell preaching, leading captivity captive. He was not left in hell. Doesn't say anything about Him suffering while He was there. "And His flesh did not see corruption." He did not rot in that tomb. That's a quotation of Psalms. That's right. Acts 2 says nothing about Jesus suffering in hell. The Bible never says anything about Jesus suffering in hell. And you heard Jan. That wasn't Tammy Faye, by the way. That was Jan Crouch. She said, "What about the burnt offering? Did this picture Jesus suffering in hell?" No, hell is not a sacrifice. The burnt offering is a sacrifice pleasing to God. Those in hell will never satisfy anything. It's not a sacrifice. It's torment. It's suffering. It's justice. It's eternal torment. No one is consumed in hell. The burnt sacrifice is consumed upon the fire. That's not a picture of hell. That's a picture of the sacrifice of Christ satisfying God.
Amen.
Hell does not satisfy anything. And no one's consumed in hell, and the burnt sacrifice is consumed. Jesus paid the full price on the cross. Any deviation from that truth is heresy. Folks, Mass is blasphemy. To say that you're going to sacrifice Jesus again with the priest in his dress up there doing gobbledygunk, hubbadus, hubbadus, abracadabra, or whatever, and turning that bread supposedly into the flesh of Jesus where you cannibalize God, and then you drink the wine which is supposed to turn into blood, which, by the way, means you digest God, excrement God, and flush God down a toilet. It's ridiculous. It's blasphemous. It's a deviation from the idea that Jesus paid the full price for sin on the cross. And once you deviate from that, you end up who knows where. Stick to the truth, you end up right where the truth is. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the end. The end. Amen? Folks, it's about control. If I come up with something that you have to come here to me to get salvation, I now control you. Here I am, and here every Bible-believing preacher and every grace preacher out there is telling you, you don't need me. You don't need me. You don't need this church. You don't need a denomination. You don't need a pope to be saved. You need Jesus. He alone, dying on the cross and paying for your sins, has taken care of everything for you. So what I need you for? God just said, hey, you'll benefit from getting together with other Christians, opening up my book and studying, having someone who has learned and matured and can teach that book to you. Then you can go home and study that the other 6 days of the week. Show up on Wednesday if you want. That's optional. The Bible never actually talks about a Wednesday night service. That's just icing on the cake. Come on out. We literally have cake sometimes. Amen. Pizza, whatever.
Yay.
You got to understand this. God has a love walk with you, a love relationship with you. He's not up there keeping track and saying, ooh, you're close to going to hell now, buddy. You skip church to go where? Hey, if you skip church for some reason you shouldn't skip church for, you're lost. Yeah, but you ain't going to lose salvation. God loves you. He's died for you. He's paid for your sins. If you believe in His death and resurrection, you're saved. Now let's move on. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for this time in Your book. We thank You for the Holy Spirit being our real teacher. And Lord, the only thing we do is try to accurately relay the truth and live it. Lord, help us to preach the gospel this week to some lost souls. Help us to live a life that would be pleasing to Your sight and would not bring shame and reproach to Your name. Help us to love You more every day, to get closer to You every day, to walk in love and not legalism. Lord, to live the life, the abundant life, the Spirit-filled life. And we can't wait, we just cannot wait for that day. What a day it will be when my Jesus I shall see. Cannot wait, Lord, and we pray You come quickly in Jesus' name. Amen.
I am Pastor Danny Parica. Thank you, Parica. And of course, thank you for Mike Brown and Pastor Greg Miller. And thank you, and thank you for your support as well as the things that you have given. Thank you.
What you just heard was a Filipino pastor thanking the church family at Bible Believers Fellowship for providing a gift that has enabled them to purchase a bullhorn and some scripture signs so that they can preach the gospel to the lost on the busy streets on the Philippine Islands. What you hear in the background is the preaching ministry as it is happening. Your gifts have made it possible for this ministry to reach around the world and to assist other Bible Christians in their preaching efforts. Thank you. On behalf of Bible Believers Fellowship and Pastor Dan in the Philippines, thank you. And may the Lord bless your generous giving.
God is We got crowns we can win. Amen?
Amen.
Want to know more? Sit down all fall. Everyone else? Let's go take a break, get our hot coffee, come back to Bible study.
Where can I go?